We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Ross Tucker, Bob Flounders, I'm Andy Shea. Quarter number four, we're going to talk about the early signing day that's coming up on December 19th. Correct? Yes. Yeah. December 19th.
You're the stats
next guy. Wednesday, December. I was going to say next good prep, Wednesday, Andy. But I had to look. I do have it written down here. December 19th. Next day. Last year was the first year for it.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of happened. They did it. So my first question is, well, I have two first questions, but I'm going to ask this one. I have two first questions, Jim.
How about you have two questions?
No, I'm going to ask one.
You can't have two first questions.
You guys are killing me. And okay, my first question is, how do you think this has an impact on recruiting overall now that we've gone through it for another whole year? Each of you. Because last year it just kind of happened. It was like, okay.
We didn't really know what it was going to be
like. You didn't really know what
it
was going
like
on.
I feel like we need another cycle to know for sure.
Okay.
But I feel like it has definitely sped things up even more. Especially for the next class.
For the 2020.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? Penn State usually has a couple of 2020 commits by now, and right now they only have one. So maybe it hasn't. On some people felt like it would actually slow it down because more guys would want to take those visits in the spring rather than committing in the spring. They would more and more want to take those visits. So I don't know. I think what I've seen is that you better sign at the early one.
I was about to say, yeah. The one thing my takeaway is, if you got it, you better take it.
Well, from a kid's perspective.
Correct.
Unless you're just that good.
Unless you're a stud.
Because if you're that good and you don't sign at the early one, your next month and a half is insane. Because everybody still has one spot or two spots, and they're all going for the same stud that's still left out there. I mean, if you want your phone to blow up,
I was gonna say,
then don't sign at the early one.
You got to have a pretty nice sized ego if you're the goods to not sign in December because you know what's coming, and you must, for some reason, love it. I think a lot of kids don't like it. I think they just want to get it over with, and I think you guys are right. I think it's here to stay.
I think they love it when they're in 10th grade, and it's like, okay.
Yeah. I think they've had enough. And I think it's a good thing. And I think that all the schools have been prepared for it.
I think it's a bad thing.
Do you?
You think it's a bad thing?
Yeah. Because I have a service called GoBigRecruiting.com. Oh. And too many kids stop sending their videos to colleges and know when they watch it because they get offered earlier, they sign earlier. I mean, I think there's pros and cons to it. A lot of people really fought it. Saban really didn't want it. And I'll say this. I think he felt like it was, you know, they just got done the SEC championship game.
That's why. Right. He's got other things on his plate.
And the national championship game's coming on. I think he wanted there to be 3 weeks when the season was over to focus on recruiting.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas now,
it's the
you've got to focus on recruiting while the season's still going on.
Correct. That was another question of mine. Do you think the coaching puts more pressure, different kind of pressure on the coaching staff? Because now you have to coach and get ready for your bowl game or the college football playoffs. And you have to be extremely active in your recruiting. I mean, James has been up and down the East Coast for the last week and a half. You've seen him on sidelines everywhere and in people's homes and visiting ones that they already have that are commitments, visiting potentials. I mean,
it might force.
Plus, his football team's practicing.
It probably forces the head coach and his director of operations to kind of take a different look at how they assemble their staff and how they give them priorities and how things are done for just this time of year. Because if you're going to be a good program, you're going to have to balance it between getting ready for a big bowl game and closing the deal in December, getting the kids on the practice field. I think all of that, but I think they've seen that. I think it's been coming for a while. I don't blame Nick Saban for hating it because he's in the national championship game.
Three out of four years.
Yeah,
three out
I'm
of five
sure Dabo years. Doesn't like it. The Kirby Smart doesn't like it.
Yeah, Dabo doesn't say anything that he doesn't like,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Dabo won't say, like, I don't like it. He'll just be like, well, that's the way it is. You know, while Nick's like, oh, grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. Do we still need two signing periods then?
Yeah,
we do.
I think so.
Why?
Well, because I think there might be some kids that aren't. That's a good question. I think there might be some kids that aren't ready then. And they might want to see the fallout of who goes pro or not, or what happens in the bowl games too.
Right, right.
You know, I think that there's, and by the way, they might want to see the fallout of some of the coaching moves too. That was some of the benefit of February. Now, my question now is, do some of these staffs make changes after the early signing day? Or do they wait until after the second signing
day? Oh, because last year with all those changes happened in between. That's a good point. My other thought process, if you're going to keep two, was the gap between them is tight. It's 6 weeks, right? And you're already being forced to sprint in a different direction now with the bowl game prep and everything, because recruiting has to become a priority the day after your regular season, or if you're in a conference championship. It's literally the next day. It starts if you were in a conference championship game. Do you move the first one back to August to slow down the process? Like, make one in August and one in February.
Oh, you mean move it up?
Well, yeah, move it up. I meant, yeah. Move it to August. Move it to before camp, around camp.
I kind of like that idea.
I was just thinking, if you're going to have to, because it seems like they want to, then spread them out and
You know what idea I like? I like the idea that as soon as they verbally offer it to you, you can sign it and it's binding. You know why?
Because then it eliminates.
There'd be a lot less phony offers out there. If that kid can sign it right away, there'd be a lot less. Look, like, I did the state championship games, right?
Right.
In the 5A game, there's a kid from Penn Hills, Daquan Hardy, who had an unbelievable game. Tremendous player. His offer sheet lists Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska. I don't even know if he was scheduled for official visits for those schools.
Right.
If you haven't committed to one of them, or you don't have your visit already planned, my guess is he doesn't really have those offers anymore. You know?
Right.
Maybe they offered him in the spring, but then they already have two cornerbacks that committed. And so it's like, okay, he has these offers, but he doesn't really have these offers. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up going to Mac, although he had such a good game that maybe somebody else will come through now. But I think that would be a great way to slow it down. You offer a kid, it's in writing right away, and they can sign it right away. Because then you're not going to offer the kids unless you're sure.
Right, then you know. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, it's quarter number four. Ross Tucker, Bob Flounders, Andy Shea. We're talking about the early signing period, which is coming up on, Bob, December.
I'm not going to say Wednesday. I'm going to say December 19th.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to. Do you think this helps some schools and hurts others? In other words, do you think there's an advantage, disadvantage for certain schools? Like, does it help Alabama? Or in any other way, shape, or form other than they're already Alabama and they're already getting some of the best players. Do we think there's any, like, advantage, disadvantage that you can see on a school-to-school level? Like, does it help James Franklin because he's more of an overt recruiter-type guy than it does a guy who's not quite as strong an overt recruiter?
I don't think I have any strong opinion, either way, that it helps either one. I don't know. I think it hurts maybe Group of Five and FCS. Well, I can't even say that. I was going to say it hurts them because there are kids that are holding out and won't sign at the early one, waiting for it.
Waiting for that last one.
But then that sorts itself out. I talked to one Conference USA school. They don't sign very many kids at the early one.
They don't. No, they don't.
Because they want to get the kids that think that they're signing with those other ones, but then it's not there for them anymore, the Power Five, and then they swoop in and try to get all those kids.
Yeah, that's why I think It just feels to me if you went to an August signing day, right, for the first one, because essentially Penn State, the season, you, there's not much commitments that happen during the high school football season, right?
Right.
So Penn State's class was like 16 or 17 before they started camp. So what's the difference if you do it in August and then you give the senior season and the late bloomers, then the Power Fives come back in? But
no, I like that. I don't really – I think December to February is too tight of a window. What's the point there?
It's 6 weeks.
I like
right
August.
Right in the middle of bowl season.
I like August and then again in February.
Is there, a value proposition you think from the player's perspective of signing early?
Yes.
Versus not signing early?
Yes. If you get hurt, you've signed it.
You've signed it.
Because there are kids you don't hear about as much.
Right.
Especially if it's like an in-state kid, they won't do it. But there are plenty of kids out there that they get hurt, they stop hearing from certain schools. Not only that, not only if they get hurt, just that they don't play as well their senior year. They stop hearing from kids. I've talked to coaches that are like, you know, kids listed as having an offer. Yeah, he hasn't been on our board for a while.
Interesting.
I just want to ask Ross real quick. Brandon Smith, Caden Wallace, better prospect on the college level?
Brandon Smith.
Is it close? Because I'm going through this list, and
I don't think so.
Really? So we're talking about one of James Franklin's greatest gets.
We're talking about like a Micah Parsons, in my mind, top five, top 10 player in the country.
So
he's listed at what, 25th in the country?
Yeah.
I think he's better than that.
Okay.
I think he's a top five, top 10 player in the country that's ready to play day one, and I can't wait to see him and see what I think he's that good.
I think he is. He continues James Franklin's run of getting a top player at a position in the country at his position.
The only thing
for like
that hurts
the fourth
him,
or fifth year.
The only thing that hurts him is they actually like they have all their linebackers other than Koa Farmer coming back.
Yeah,
you know he's got some guys now that have some pelts on the wall that have experience that did some good things, and it's not easy to beat out returning guys. We saw that with Koa Farmer and Micah Parsons. Like, it takes time because the coaching staff has to get comfortable with you. And, you know, that starter's going to get the reps. So for you to be good enough that you show that you're better and know what he knows, it just takes some time.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm looking forward to visiting with him. And I'm looking forward to see what Mike Locksley has to say about recruiting in this corridor moving forward at Maryland and what that means for Penn State. We could talk about that down the road.
That's true. All right, that'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show. For Ross Tucker, Bob Flounders, Andy Shea, and Jim Galante, thanks for joining us. Come back next week.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.